the trip certainly signifies an effort to bring the bilateral relations to a new era and to a whole new level.
China and Myanmar grow closer. It's Monday, January 20th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, keeping watch for a Chinese virus. The Trump impeachment trial gets underway. Deadly pollution. Rescue dogs to the rescue of first responders. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Chinese President Xi Jinping reinforced his support for embattled Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi Saturday, signing 33 bilateral agreements covering a range of projects, including rail and port ventures to allow China access to the Indian Ocean and to shorten the route for its oil and gas imports from the Persian Gulf. The agreements were signed in the Myanmar capital of Naypyidaw at the end of Xi's two-day visit, the first to the country by a Chinese head of state in nearly two decades. Xi's visit came as the Myanmar government faces intense global criticism for a 2017 military campaign that targeted minority Rohingya Muslims, resulting in the deaths of thousands and the exile of nearly 750,000 others. United Nations investigators have described the military campaign as genocide, a charge Myanmar is facing at the International Court of Justice. Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, tells VOA Asia's Ira Melman via Skype the relationship between the two nations has grown significantly.
Well, Xi's visit, with all the strategic importance and symbolism, I think it signifies that Sino-Myanmar relations has entered a new era. And based on the documents that have come out of this visit, the two sides have decided to pursue what they call the China-Myanmar Community of Common Destiny. And for Xi Jinping administration, this is almost the highest level of bilateral relations in their foreign policy playbook. So I would say that the trip certainly signifies an effort to bring the bilateral relations to a new era and to a whole new level.
So, therefore, what does this do, if anything, to the relationship between Myanmar and the United States?
I, in fact, believe that this visit, given the seniority, the high level, and all the public relations work associated to it, I think it's a Chinese statement to the world and to the United States that China has returned to Myanmar as its most consequential foreign partner. So what we know is that in 2011, Myanmar pursued a political reform, a political democratization process, and that the result of that, the Sino-Myanmar relationship suffered quite serious setbacks. And the Chinese perception has been that the U.S. is a black hand behind that sabotage, and the U.S. was able to improve relations with Myanmar at the cost of China's national interest and China's relations with Myanmar. But 9 years later, we see that China is returning to Myanmar, claiming that we are the most important foreign partner, and Western countries, including the United States, are not trustworthy. So I think that's the message to the United States, that China is back.
Do you expect the United States to try to regain the positive face that they had in Myanmar now that this has happened?
I don't think the United States has ever given up that effort to engage the Myanmar government and to promote bilateral cooperation. But I think there are certain constraints currently that is very difficult for U.S. to abandon. And that is pretty much the Rohingya issue, the Rohingya refugee crisis, that the Myanmar government, the Myanmar society, and the Myanmar military have taken a very adamant position on that issue. And from a U.S. perspective, based on the basic principle of human rights, it sets a lot of limitations as for what we can do in terms of that bilateral relations.
The discussion with Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, continues in a moment. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China and Myanmar sign dozens of infrastructure deals. Heavy snow hampers search for missing South Korean Nepal trekkers. A report says North Korean foreign minister has been replaced. The Taliban say discussions continue with United States on Afghan peace deal. Firefighters save Australia's dinosaur trees. You can read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus visit our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. VOA Asia's Ira Melman explores the Rohingya issue with Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, as they continue to look at the visit to Myanmar of Chinese President Xi Jinping.
Myanmar and Bangladesh have reached an initial bilateral agreement that these refugees are supposed to repatriate. And the Myanmar government is going to accept them back to Myanmar. The problem currently is that without a security guarantee, without the reassurances of their safety, livelihood, and a dignified return, the Rohingya refugees in the Cox's Bazar, in the refugee camps in Bangladesh, they are not willing to return to Myanmar. And Myanmar is unwilling to provide the conditions that will suffice the need of the Rohingya refugees. So where China stands is that China has claimed a mediation role between Myanmar and Bangladesh, and China has proposed this three-step solution, starting with ceasefire, followed by repatriation, and wrapped up with development. So the actual implementation of that process is much more complicated than the Chinese statement has been, basically just a three-step. So, and from this visit, Xi Jinping has committed additional further Chinese support of the repatriation process, and also committed to continued support of Myanmar on the Rohingya issue internationally. You might remember that Aung San Suu Kyi, well, the Gambia, started an international court of justice trial, well, accusation against Myanmar, leading to Aung San Suu Kyi having to go to Hague last December to defend Myanmar's position. Well, guess what? The day before she left for Hague, the Chinese foreign minister visited Myanmar to provide the support. So I think on the Rohingya issue, China has stood out as the most important patron and protector and shielder of Myanmar's position internationally. And I think that's what has cemented this bilateral relationship to the level it is now.
Is this a win for China?
I think it is a win for China on the surface, that China is able to claim that we have regained our influence in Myanmar, we have repaired our image in the country, and we have regained our status as the most consequential foreign partner of the country. But if you look at Myanmar's foreign policy principles, it's very much centered. The country never wants to abandon its neutralism and its balancing diplomacy. And almost as a general rule, the best relations that China has ever had with Myanmar always emerges when Myanmar has domestic problems, which made them internationally isolated. So that happened after the 88 uprising. It happened after the 1990 elections. It also happened after the 2007 Saffron Revolution. And now we're seeing that the Rohingya crisis is putting Myanmar back to a status of an international pariah. And China is the sole supporter, basically. But that is not going to last forever. And I think Myanmar will have the intention and the interest in expanding its foreign partners to counterbalance China down the road.
Yun Sun, senior fellow and director of the China program at the Stimson Center, speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. Happening now in Asia news, police fired tear gas Sunday at thousands of Hong Kong protesters gathered in a public park, calling for election reforms and for a boycott of the Chinese Communist Party. The authorized protest in the Chatter Garden turned into an impromptu march on the streets near the city's Legislative Council building. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's a brand new week. We're glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. U.S. health officials are at airports in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York, screening passengers traveling from Wuhan, a central city in China, where a viral pneumonia has spread. Michelle Quinn spoke with passengers arriving in San Francisco.
Families wait in the San Francisco airport arrival lobby as passengers on a flight from Wuhan, China, go through a health screening to see if they have flu-like symptoms that may be linked to a virus that has alarmed health officials worldwide. Johnny Tang, a tech worker in Silicon Valley, was waiting for his parents to visit.
Because they know there was a planned visit to here, then I think for the past week they just stay in home to avoid any contact of any potential risk.
The virus is believed to have started in Wuhan, a city in central China. It belongs to the same family of coronaviruses that includes severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS. SARS killed nearly 800 people globally during an outbreak 17 years ago. It also started in China. Adding to health officials' concerns is that many of the 1.4 billion people of China are expected to travel abroad during the Lunar New Year holiday that starts this week. There have been 45 cases in Wuhan, as well as one person with the virus in Japan and two in Thailand. At New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport, one man in transit with his wife and children said the health screening was a simple process.
15 minutes? Very simple, and they made it very easy to get through.
Screening is also happening in other cities around the world. People who went through the screening in San Francisco said it was an easy procedure.
It will lead you to another room. So there are doctors there. There are different equipments there. They can measure your temperatures there. And they have all the things like the face mask, like the form you need to fill in to let people know how to contact you. I think they are prepared well.
Passengers were asked a few questions on a form.
If you felt sick and all of that, and I think that was, if you felt sick and like my personal information, where I live and stuff like that.
It's always better to have a better control, but there is no control from our start point.
After 3 hours of waiting, Johnny Tang finally got to hug his mother. She said the screening is important.
So the government is responsible for the passenger, and also on the passenger side is responsible for the country and the people that visit.
Citing passenger privacy, a spokesperson with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention declined to say if any passengers from Wuhan were flagged at the three U.S. airports for possibly having the virus. Airport officials here have been told to expect the health screenings to continue for 2 weeks. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
Coming up, the impeachment trial of President Trump. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Local officials say heavy snow and poor visibility hampered the search Sunday for four South Koreans and three Nepalis caught in an avalanche in the popular Annapurna region of the Himalayas. Relatives of the missing Koreans have arrived in Kathmandu alongside several emergency rescue officials. Visit VOA Asia Facebook for this and much more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the impeachment trial of U.S. President Donald Trump began Thursday with a series of ceremonial procedures that set the stage for opening arguments early this week. For just the third time in U.S. history, senators will sit in judgment of an American president and hear evidence that will lead them to decide whether he should be removed from office. As VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, the trial is getting underway as Democrats argue new evidence proves the president's guilt in trying to leverage U.S. aid to Ukraine for his own political benefit.
Do you solemnly swear?
U.S. senators swearing together.
Trial of the impeachment of Donald John Trump.
And then, one by one, signing a book saying they swear to administer that impartial justice to President Trump.
I announce the presence of the managers on the part of the
Those House senators will hear from House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff and six other impeachment managers traveling from the House to the Senate to make the case Trump should be removed from office.
In the history of the Republic, no president has ever ordered the complete defiance of an impeachment inquiry. This abuse of office served to cover up the president's own repeated misconduct.
The impeachment process in the Democratic majority U.S. House was a contentious partisan battle. Republican leader Mitch McConnell said the Senate would be different.
This chamber exists precisely, Madam President, so that we can look past the daily dramas and understand how our actions will reverberate for generations.
But Democrats contend that process cannot be fair if senators are not allowed to hear from witnesses and see documents they say prove the president held up aid to Ukraine in return for investigations that would benefit his reelection campaign.
Each of us will face a choice about whether to begin this trial in a search of the truth or in the service of the president's desire to cover up and rush things through.
The trial got underway as an independent government agency announced the Trump administration had broken the law by holding up congressionally approved aid to Ukraine. Trump's Senate ally says there was no impeachable offense.
The Department of Defense told me early on they were worried about the new administration of the Ukraine. When you look at the flow chart, the amount of money going to the Ukraine was virtually the same as it had been before.
But Lev Parnas, an associate of Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, could be a possible trial witness after saying Trump knew exactly what was going on with aid to Ukraine. Trump denies this.
I never had a conversation that I remember with him.
Democrats believe these revelations will increase pressure on McConnell to allow witnesses.
Public opinion has grown enormously for seeing witnesses, eyewitnesses, and documentation. And they'll just have to contend with the public on that.
The trial's set to get fully underway next Tuesday when senators return from the holiday weekend. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
This news break from VOA Asia. Chinese authorities are continuing to detain foreign nationals of Uyghur descent, which experts say is part of an effort by Beijing to prevent any outside access to Xinjiang province. VOA interviewed several ethnic Uyghurs of different nationalities who say they or family members face detention upon arriving in China. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube and Instagram. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, pollution kills three times more people than AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria combined. That's according to new estimates. It's one of the leading causes of death, but despite the enormous toll, it's a neglected issue in most of the world. VOA's Steve Barragona has more.
Dirty air and water, lead poisoning, and polluted workplaces killed an estimated 8.3 million people in 2017. That's more than smoking. It's more than alcohol and drug abuse. It beats unhealthy diets, major infectious diseases, and war. But it gets less attention than any of those in much of the world. That's according to a new report by the Global Alliance on Health and Pollution, which includes researchers, national health ministries, NGOs, and the United Nations. Rachel Kupka is executive director.
It's pointing out that a global health crisis is in fact still undercounted, still underaddressed, still under-resourced.
The report says pollution from traditional sources like smoky cookstoves and poor sanitation are declining, while modern pollution from factories, vehicles, and toxic chemicals are on the rise. Kupka notes that international investment has focused on traditional pollution.
Water and sanitation, like I mentioned, has had a lot of investment in it, so the deaths are coming down, whereas the other issues in terms of modern pollution have not received the same or equivalent amount of resources and attention.
India and China had the most pollution-related deaths, followed by Nigeria, Indonesia, and Pakistan. The United States was seventh.
There's countries from almost every region of the world present in that top 10 list. So we really are all impacted. It doesn't matter kind of where you are.
Air pollution was the leading killer, making up 40% of the global death toll. Kupka says the good news is that measures already exist that can help reduce the impacts.
There are cost-effective things that countries can do, that communities can do, that cities can do to implement and bring down their burden of disease from pollution.
Authorities can adopt and enforce emissions controls for vehicles and smokestacks, require personal protective gear for workers, and other measures already in place in many countries. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
Canine units are fairly common in most police departments. These dogs usually help solve crimes and find drugs. But the Fairfax, Virginia Police Department has brought dogs on board to help crime fighters deal with and recovery from their difficult jobs. Maxim Moskalkov met with members of the canine squad as Anna Rice narrates his story.
This handsome guy named Jack started his job with the Fairfax Police Department just recently, but has already won a lot of hearts.
Out. Good boy.
Jack still has a few months of training ahead of him before he can start on his job. But Jack and his four-legged colleagues won't be looking for traces of drugs, explosives, or lost people. He will be helping police officers overcome stress and get over traumatic emotional experiences. A special organization called First Responders K-9 trains such dogs.
First Responder K-9 trains and provides service dogs to first responders by first responders that have, may have been wounded in the line of service. So mobility issues, PTSD, traumatic brain injury, and so on.
The idea to employ dogs to help deal with extreme stress is not new. Yet the First Responders K-9 is the only organization of its kind in the U.S. Among those who help train dogs are policemen, firefighters, and paramedics.
Right now, as we start to focus that training, it's focused towards disabilities. So the dogs being able to open up doors, the dogs being able to press the handicap little sign so the doors will open, dogs being able to grab items for the owners.
Currently, five dogs are being trained here, each named after an officer who had died in the line of duty. After the training is over, Jack and Holmes will work with officers to help prevent the development of PTSD. And Indy, Sally, and Lenny will help those who had already lived through severe physical or psychological trauma. Head of the Fairfax County Police Department, Edwin Rossler, is among them.
It's been a blessing because I am learning not only from my trainer, Caitlin, and my canine, Indy, but everybody else to become a more patient human being. I started to bring Indy into the office and be with her 24/7. People on my floor and in the building, where there are other dogs, it has become a happy place.
According to an NGO called Blue Help, in 2018, the number of policemen who had committed suicide has exceeded the number of those who died in the line of duty.
What a lot of people don't realize is that when the police are called, it's not because someone's having a very good day. It's usually because they're having the worst day of their life or they're having a very bad day. And that's the big reason why we decided to implement this program. During a 10-hour shift or a 12-hour shift, we have to see the worst side of a lot of people. And we have to take what's going on at one moment and kind of change our face and go to the next call and pretend like that never happened.
Training a dog is a lot of work and may take up to 2 years. Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers are chosen for the job because they are incredibly calm and among the smartest dog breeds.
Now she's working a lot with behavioral stuff, how to say hello to people, how to interact in public, in large groups, how to socialize with other people and other animals.
First Responders K-9 plans to start working with other police departments around the country. For Maxim Moskalkov in Fairfax, Virginia, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on the radio throughout Asia on great radio stations like Falcon Radio at Adamson University in the Philippines. Thanks to everyone there who's tuned into our program today. If for some reason you've missed part of our program, it's very easy to find. Just go to iTunes, SoundCloud, or our website, voanews.com. And be sure to see us on YouTube and Instagram. We're also on VOA Asia Twitter. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead.